I am very grateful to have the opportunity to give God glory for what He's done in our life and through our life. You see, a person like me, 25 years ago, would never expect Christianity. I was not looking for Christianity and Christ. But I'm so grateful that His grace found me. I'm so grateful that He was willing to look at this miserable person who's taken blood, taken life blood, human being. It was for a period of time, it was hard for me to believe that somebody like me can be saved and can be accepted by the kingdom of God. I was reading in Matthew 5, just started reading in Matthew 5, 25 years ago, and so excited as I'm reading Matthew 5, 9, and it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That excited me. And I jumped. I jumped, saying, "Oh God, yes, help me. Help me to be a peacemaker. Help me, Lord. I have never been a peacemaker. I have always been a troublemaker, even from my younger age. I want to be a peacemaker." And I was in tears and on my knees. And then I go back to read, and I continue to read on Matthew. And I get to the 44. The 43rd and the 44th verse. And it said, the Lord speaking, so in my book it's in red. And with me, when it's in red, that means it's the Lord Himself still speaking. He said, "It was said to you, past, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." I thought, oh, that's good. The Lord is saying for us to hate our enemy. That's easy. And then He says, "But," don't forget that but, "I say to you, present and future, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you." I jumped up and I said, "No way! No way! I will never love them. They took my homes. They kicked us out of our homes. They made us refugees. I was born in a refugee home." And I'm telling him all the reasons why I would never love the Jews. I know what he's talking to me. Who's my enemy at the time? Other than the Jews and Israel. Passionately hated them. But now he's saying that I have to love them. And to pray for them too. I mean, come on, God. And I was so tired and I was making all the reasons why I could never love them or pray for them. I went on my knees and I was crying with pain because I don't want to lose that love of Christ that I have experienced, that I have felt in my heart through the light that was speaking to me and saying, "I am Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to the Father except through me." That powerful light was pouring so much love into my heart that I was on my face crying and shaking. I did not want to lose that feeling of love, that genuine love that I was feeling, that I have never experienced, not even from my own father. And I was on my knees, crying. And then the grace of God and the power of God. I love Jesus. He is a true God. Whispered in my ear. A small voice saying, they have done more than that to me, but I still love them. And that just broke me. That just broke me. Lord, if you love them, help me to love them. I can't love them in my own power, Lord. I need you to help me to love them. I want to. Didn't take very long for him to test me on that. Just the next week, I'm dealing with a Jewish businessman. And when I deal with Jewish businessmen, I'm always want to eat them for lunch before they eat me for dinner. Aggressive. But this time, it wasn't the same. I was at ease. And I'm feeling things I've never felt towards Jews before. Anything I asked him for, he gave me. I thought this must not be Jews. I was questioning, basically. But I know they are. So I leave my meeting after I got everything I wanted. I'm leaving and I'm standing outside and my mind and my heart are having a conversation. My mind is saying, hey, hey, heart, wake up, wake up. Where is that hatred you have for these people? And my heart is saying, it's no longer there. My mind is saying, but how? And my heart is saying, it's been cleansed by the same Jew you love now. And that did it. That summed it for me. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And that began my journey, my friends. That began the journey of studying the Bible to understand the roots of the conflict between us Arabs and Jews. You see, this conflict went on for 4,200 years. It's the longest family feud ever in the history of mankind. It never came to peace. Many good leaders have come and tried to bring peace and they failed. They failed because they always looked at this conflict as a political conflict. This conflict is never a political conflict. My visit, as Pastor Jason mentioned, last week I was in a meeting at the White House brainstorming ideas to get to the President Trump to take a peace treaty between the Palestinians and the Israelis that is not going to be a political conflict, but a solution of a spiritual solution. We met this last Monday. Following up, we met with the chief of staff and some other advisors to give them the written proposal that I feel this should be for this land. So pray, please, for that favor. Because this conflict and the answer to it is not a two-state solution, it's a one-state solution, Israel for both to live equally and justly. I believe in this because of what this word is saying to me. If I have another hour, I would share with you and help you to understand the roots of the conflict and how. Maybe we need to do that someday, Pastor, come and do that, do a teaching. Friends, 45, 46 years ago, I came to this country kicking and screaming. Didn't want to come to America. I studied French. I want to go to France to study, but I was so drawn to come to America, so I did. And how wrong I was, because I hated America and Americans just as much as I hated Israel and the Jews at the time. But I come to America and I was so received and accepted by the wonderful American people. A reception I did not receive from my own people back in Saudi Arabia and in Qatar. And so that changed my mind. There's a better way to live in this country. And then I came to understand the American dream. Friends, American dream still exists today. I am one of those American dreams. I lived it, and I'm still living it. I found myself a wife that I thought I'm going to have her for 2 or 3 years. Have you ever thought about what the American green card looks like? Honey, will you stand up? The most beautiful green card you'll ever see. My wife, Karen. My better two-third. Isn't it amazing how God will take evil thing and turn it into good? My intention was evil. To marry Karen, have my green card, my papers in America, maybe 2 or 3 years, and say goodbye. But God had a plan, a better plan. When I got married, Karen, my father was so mad, he said, okay, you marry an American girl, no more money from me. You go feed your American wife. I said, uh-oh, what am I going to do now? Go find the mafia? The only thing I know was explosives and weapons. And so I was lucky to find a job as a dishwasher at a French restaurant in Kansas City. And I started working that restaurant and worked hard and really liked it. For some reason, I don't know why, I liked it. And I worked very hard. I was keeping up with the chefs and everybody. And the chef, the owner, he noticed I was looking, watching him cooking. So he decided to start teaching me how to cook French food. I took business management and international marketing, but I became more interested in the food and wine business, so I started studying that and become very successful. The owner, the wife who manages the dining room, see, friends, what I'm sharing with you, a small part of my stories, because I want to share with you how God walked with me. How he plotted my all coming to America, and how he walked with me, and God walks with us when we are really listening closely. Naturally, at the time, I did not think I was walking with God, but he was walking with me. I go to the dining room to learn how to serve, and a young man, I was so nervous. I was 23-year-old, barely spoke English. I spoke some French. Barely spoke English. I went to my first customer to take his dirty dishes away, and I'm so nervous, my hands are shaking. And a man sitting at the table there with a beautiful lady, he takes his hand off of her eyes off of her, and he looks at me with such a beautiful smile, and he said, thank you, young man. Thank you, young man. This rich man is thanking his servant. This is unheard of in the Middle East. For him to take his eyes off of that beautiful girl with him was just huge. That really touched my heart. I made a decision. I'm going to take good care of this man every time he comes in. Found out that he was a regular customer. And he liked me for some reason and began to treat me like a normal person with respect and acceptance. I spoke very little English. I had nothing to offer him. He was a very rich man. But yet, this Charlie was treating me with such a respect and dignity, which intrigued me. And that began a relationship, my friend. You're thinking, how can we reach these Muslims in our neighborhoods? How can we change the mind of terror to a mind of peace? Be Charlie. Be a Charlie to those foreigners who you don't really know much about. Build relationship. We'll help you through reading this book. How can you change the mind of terror to a mind of peace? There's a lot in here to help us to do that. Charlie thanked me, and that captured my heart, and there began a relationship that went on for 19 years. Never said to me anything about his God. 19 years. I became a very businessman, very successful. Left the restaurant and went into a high-class hotels and become very successful there too. And then the French couple that owns the restaurant decided they wanted to sell it to us. It was my baby, and yes, I wanted it, but I respected the owners. I didn't want to push them out. So when they were ready to sell, I was ready to buy. Went back to buy. Charlie, being a big businessman in Kansas City, he was so excited. He wants me to help me to find the right location. The restaurant was part of a mall, and I wanted to have it in our own private house. So Charlie comes so excited. Pass, I found you just the right place. Oh, yeah? Where? He told me the place, and I was depressed. Charlie, I was just there 3 days ago. He said, yeah? I said, that place. They had demons. They have people dead in there. This used to be an old funeral home that went out of business. They had dead people there. Charlie, when I walked in there, I felt demons and ghosts all over the place. I ran out of there. He laughed at me and he said, Tass, you know why you were scared like that? I said, no, why? He said, because you don't have the fear of God in you. Charlie, what are you talking about? I'm a Muslim. I fear God. He said, no, you're not. But he said, not to worry. I can help you with that. I can fix it. With such a confidence, he puts his finger to the sky. He said, I have connection. He laughed and I said, yeah, sure. So I walk away. Friends, we never know how God will use words you speak to impact human life, either for good or bad. You never know. If your life is mindful of God, you will be blessing to people, you will be impacting people, they will be drawn to you, they will bring you, and you bring them to the Lord. Charlie's life was focused on that. He was so patient. I don't think it's taking that much time any longer. I walked away from him when he said, he have a connection. I said, yeah, sure. And I walked away. That word connection, friends, took me over. I'm thinking, what is this connection? And I'm more and more preoccupied. And Mark called Charlie, come on, Charlie, tell me what is this connection. Is it tough? It's not time yet. And he hangs up. I got to the point where I could not function. I could not eat. I could not sleep. I used to smoke. I went up to 6 packets of cigarette a day. I was going nuts. I called Charlie. I said, Charlie, I can't sleep. I cannot function. He said, okay, man, now is the time. So he comes and he picks me up and takes me to his house. On the way to his house, he's talking to me about all different stuff, spiritual language, praise the Lord and hallelujah. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with him? I never heard him talk like this. We get to the house and he's opening the door and he's saying, Tas, to have the peace that I have, you must love a Jew. Oh my goodness. I'm glad I didn't have a machine gun next to me. You see, my wife and my kids did not know my entire story until I wrote it. Charlie, on the other hand, he knew this story almost entirely before it was written. But my wife and my kids did not know. For Charlie to think that I have to love a Jew, he was really looking for a chance. But I loved him so much, and I'm sure he was counting on that. He calmed me down. He said, come on, let's sit down. We go sit down. What is this connection? He said, what do you know about Jesus? I said, I know Jesus. We believe in him. He's a prophet. He said, well, he's more than a prophet. I said, what is he? He said, he's the Son of God. He's God. Jumped off my chair and said, Charlie, now that is a blasphemy. I don't know what's wrong with you, man. First you tell me I have to love a Jew. Now you tell me Jesus, Son of God. I'm out. I'm running to the door. He yelled at me and said, Tas, calm down. Come back, sit down. Give me a few more minutes. I come back running. And he left and he came back. Am I running out of time? I didn't watch the clock, and that's my mistake. I'm sorry. He comes back and he had a box. And a box that this have Bible in it. In a box. And he took that a book out of it, and it had Holy Bible in it, and he brought it and he set it right next to me, so close to my thigh I jumped away from it. He said, why did he jump like that? I said, I can't touch that. He said, why? It's just a piece of paper. I said, no. It's got the Word of God and the name of God. And I was nervous. He said, so you believe this is the Word of God? I said, yes. He said, okay, if you believe this is the Word of God, let me read to you what it says about Jesus. I said, go ahead. Picked up the Bible. He opened. And he looked. And he was going to look for a page. Then he stopped. And he started smiling. And he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's as far as I heard him reading. I started shaking. I lost conscience. The next I know, I'm on my knees on the floor with my hands lifted up, inviting Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I'm looking at Charlie and he's shaking and crying and I was worried about him. I thought something happened to him. He said, Charlie, what's the matter? What happened? He said, man, I've never seen anything like this in my life. You looked weird, but I like it anyway. And he comes and he hugs me and he said, when I started reading the Word to you, he said, you started shaking violently. Then you were taken off the sofa in the air. You looked like you were fighting something. Then you were brought down to your knees and your hands were lifted up. He said, you started speaking in a language. He said, I didn't know what you were saying. It was not English. I was speaking to a light that was saying to me, I am Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to the Father except through my... Next to that light was two hands in the air like this with the cross tattooed right there. When I saw those hands, I knew exactly whose hands were those. Those were the hands of my nanny from the Philippines. Her name was Mariam. Maryam took good care of me from the age 7 to 10 years old. My father sent her home when I was 10 years old. The Lord was showing me her hands to remind me that when she was left, she continued to water that seed with her prayers, my friends. Whatever you invest, whatever seed you plant in the heart of an individual, you continue to water that seed with your prayers, you will always have a good fruit coming out of it. I do believe that. God is an awesome God. He doesn't save people like myself or everyone here who are saved for just being saved. God has got a calling, and that's what God called us to do, is to bring healing and reconciliation between Arabs and Jews, starting with the Arabs in our neighborhoods, in this country, to bring Muslims to know Jesus in order to bring peace for the rest of the world. And this is what I'm asking for, is your partnership with us to build this kingdom together. Reach your neighbor, Muslim neighbors, in love. Understand what God is saying in this book to reach them in love. This word is much more powerful, of course. But how can you reach a Muslim in love? This is why we wrote that. That's why we are back in the States, to help the church, basically, how to reach the Muslims in their neighborhood. All over the United States and in Europe. That's why these books are going like a viral. Yeah, the books are going viral because people are hungry to reach their neighbors. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time you've given me with my brothers and my sisters. Father, this is a privilege for me to share about your goodness and your mercy in this church. Lord, I pray that we don't leave this place the same way we have come in, but we have transformed by the power of your word that you have shared through me, Lord. Bless my brothers and my sisters. Bless Pastor Jason. Bless this church. Continue, Lord, to use it mightily as pillars within this community and beyond this community. In Jesus' name, amen.